Good morning. I think I'm here now. Sorry for being 15 minutes late. My computer decided that we weren't going to go live. It had some demands, and now that I've met them, it's allowing me to speak to you. So that's the nature of our relationship, at least this morning. Thank you for joining us for another one of our morning devotions here at Faith Prez. We're glad you could be with us, even if a little bit later than normal. You should be able to see in the description an outline of what we'll be doing this morning. Go along, if you hear that, going along with the theme of the computer problems I have this morning, there's someone weed whacking outside the building too. So hopefully you can hear me clearly, and we'll do the best that we can this morning. The description will be, or our outline will be there in the description. And with that said, let's dive now into our opening prayer. Let's pray. O God, come to our assistance. O Lord, make haste to help us. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I encourage you to turn to Psalm 19 in an English Standard Version of the Scriptures. That's what we'll be looking at for our psalm this morning. This is a beautiful psalm that gives us a confession of faith. That then turns into a prayer that we can pray together. So if you turn to Psalm 19 in an ESV, let's read it together now. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Hearing from Psalm 19, we'll now go from there, having confessed our faith in God's presence with us and the declaration of who he is in all of creation, and also, of course, especially through his word, we'll turn now to his word and look together at Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. Hear now together from God's word. He, that is Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself, reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. There's a lot in this paragraph, a lot that we can say. But central to everything that's said here is the reminder that Jesus is the center of everything, the center of everything without qualification, of all things. In some ways, this is a truth that is maybe obvious if we're Christians who spent time with God's Word, spent time with God's truth and God's people. It's a truth that's important, but it's a truth that we can often miss. Still, it's a truth that's so central, but that can often be pushed aside. We can think, for example, the fact that we live in a world, and Christians have always lived to some level in a world, that is always trying to block off certain territory from Jesus. It's always trying to say, well, there's some areas where Jesus can reside, where he can be present, but not all areas. Some areas Jesus needs to be walled out from. He's not relevant there. Of course, what we're reminded here is that Jesus bursts through those walls and he proclaims his dominion over every aspect of our lives and every aspect of this world. And so the world is constantly trying to do that. But the scripture tells us, of course, that it's not just the world that does that, but it's our own hearts as well. Our own hearts, even as Christians, that will do that. We take some areas of our life, and of course there we invite Jesus into them. We invite his presence and his direction. But then we have other areas of life where, whether consciously or unconsciously, we try to wall him out from that. We try to keep him separate from that. But again, Paul reminds us that Jesus refuses such walls. He refuses such separations. He walks right through them. This paragraph, so therefore, focuses on Jesus' centrality to everything. Let's look at a few parts of it again. In verse 15, Paul reminds us that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. In other words, if you want to know God, Jesus is going to be central. We can't separate Jesus and God from one another, of course, because Jesus, Paul reminds us here, is the way that we can know God. He is the image of the invisible God, whom we cannot see unless he is revealed to us, and he's revealed to us in Jesus. Jesus isn't some add-on, he's not an addition, but Jesus is how God is revealed to us. We can't know ultimate transcendence, though human beings throughout history have wanted to know that. We can't reach have any access to that ultimate transcendence without Jesus being the one who makes visible for us the things that otherwise are invisible. Paul starts with that truth in verse 15, but then he goes on in verses 16 and 17. He says, "For by him, by Jesus, all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authority, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together." We're reminded here that creation itself, every aspect of creation, has no existence and also no purpose without Jesus. Every single thing that you see around you right now, everything that you are interacting with, has to do with Jesus. All things were created by Jesus. Time and space and matter and energy, every object around us in nature, every living thing that's been made, Jesus made all of it. It started with an idea that he had and that he brought into existence. It exists because Jesus likes it, because he decided to create it. And that's why it speaks of him, which connects us back to Psalm 19 that we began with. The reason why creation speaks of God and speaks, we would say, of Jesus is because Jesus is the one who made it. He is the artist behind the art that we see around us. And so we're reminded that all things were made by Jesus, but Paul doesn't stop there. He goes on in those verses we just read, and he tells us, he reminds us that all things were also created for Jesus. Creation as a whole is for Jesus. It's something that glorifies him. It's something that, in some sense, is a gift to Jesus. It is a delight for Jesus. Nothing in creation, therefore, we've said, can be understood apart from the fact that Jesus made it. But it also can't rightly be understood apart from the fact that it is for Jesus, that it is for his glory, that it is to reflect him, that it is there because he delights in it. So all things are made by Jesus. All things are made for Jesus. We're reminded as well that all things hold together through Jesus. Without Christ, creation ceases to exist. He holds all things that exist together. Now, as we think about that, we think about creation's relationship to Christ, we, of course, also recognize that much of creation is not the way it should be. It's broken. death is present in this world. And for human beings, not only is death present, but sin and rebellion are present. And so we're reminded, even as we think of these truths from Psalm 19, from Colossians 1 here, that the world is not the way it is supposed to be. It's not the way Jesus made it to be, as our first parents have rebelled against Christ. And in a whole range of ways, we have continued that rebellion. We have tried to separate creation from its purpose and intention. But even as we think of that, Paul already addresses that, because he reminds us that Jesus is not only the key to knowing God, he's not only the key to understanding the purpose of creation, but he's also the key to restoring creation. And we read that in verses 18 through 20. Paul writes, "And he, Jesus, is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross." Jesus is the key to restoring all things. He has reconciled rebellious humanity, making peace by his blood on the cross. He's paved the way to restoration by rising from the dead himself as the firstborn of all of restored creation, including restored humanity. But that restored humanity isn't just something in the future. It's something that is here and has begun now, because we're reminded that he's also the head of the church, the community that is meant to be the community that is the renewed humanity right here and right now, even before the new creation is fully here. Jesus made all things, but Paul reminds us Jesus is also making all things new. He will do that, but he's at work doing it even now. Now, again, these things are a review for many of us, but we should ask ourselves the question of whether the things we really keep in mind, or even though we know them, do we tend to wall Jesus off from different areas of life? Do we really see Jesus as central, as Paul describes here? Do we really see him as being central to all spiritual and moral truth? Do we really see him as being central to all of creation, everything we interact with throughout the day? Do we really see him as central to every act of restoration, when we see things that are broken, when we see things in ourselves that need to be restored? Do we recognize that Christ is central to that work as well? Our temptation is to separate Jesus off. And we can do this in a range of ways. We can separate him off to different areas of life. We can separate him off to different times of our days, whether it's just during our devotions that we focus on him and then we set him aside for the rest of the day, or whether it's just on Sundays where we're focused on him and then we set him aside then for the rest of the week. Whether we have areas of life or times of life, Jesus will not accept those walls. All things are connected to him, and we need to ask ourselves what parts of our lives we have excluded him from. And so we start our day now focusing on Jesus, but the challenge put before us is that throughout our day, as we live in Christ's world, as we live under him as our God, as we interact with the world he's made, as we seek to live the way he has called us to live, that we see his centrality to every aspect of our lives. And so with that in mind, let's pray together now. Lord Jesus, we see these truths. We see them in your word, as Psalm 19 tells us we do. And now we ask that you would give us eyes to see them throughout your creation and throughout our day. We do pray, Christ, that you would help us to see more and more clearly that you, in fact, are the image of the invisible God. Lord, we know this, of course, on some level. We believe it doctrinally. But we pray that as we find ourselves asking ultimate questions, struggling with ultimate things, we would recognize again and again that if we want to know what God is like, our Maker, then we need to look, Christ, at what you are like. And we can see through your word what you are like and what you have done. So we pray that you would help us to turn our eyes to you, Christ, again and again. But we also pray that you would help us to do that as we interact with your world. Help us to see this world as the work of your craftsmanship, the work of your artistry, the work of your creativity, Lord, and see how through that all things are made by you, all things point to you, all things are things that glorify you and that you rejoice in as you have made it. Help us, Lord, to live our lives recognizing that every breath that we take is not primarily dependent on us or on anything else, but that it is dependent on you, that you, Christ, are the one who holds all things together. And Lord, as we see things that are not the way that they should be, help us to see that you, Christ, are the only hope for the renewal of that which is. We ask that you would then grant us and help us to seek in you renewed lives ourselves, Lord. As we see the ways that we fall short of what we should be, Christ, help us to look to you to be renewed. Help us to look to you, Lord, as we long for renewed creation. We are in this situation now, living in this pandemic, and we see again that creation is not the way you made it to be. And so, Lord, even as we see that, help us to long for the restored and renewed creation that you will make when you return, Jesus, when all things are restored to the way you desired them to be. And Lord, as we see brokenness in our communities, whether our relationships close to home, or our congregation, or our city, or our state, or our country, or our world, as we see broken community, help us to remember again that you are restoring community and you are doing that in your church, Lord. We ask that you would make your church in general, make our congregation in particular, to be a picture of renewed community that is shaped in your image, Jesus, with you as our head. Lord, as we lift these things up to you, we pray for you, your renewing work. We pray that you would provide for those who are in need right now, that you would heal those who are sick, that you would protect those who are vulnerable. We ask that you would provide for those who are financially uncertain right now, and that you would give wisdom to our leaders. We ask, Lord, that you would heal our land both physically and spiritually. And now, Lord, as we look to the day ahead, we pray that you would help us, Christ, not to wall you off from the rest of our day, but we pray that we would approach the day ahead in your strength and with a vision to your glory and with the eyes of faith that see the connection between you and all the things that you will call us to today. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would do all of this, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for joining us, and thank you again for your patience with those technical difficulties this morning. I do hope that you will join us again later this evening for our Zoom prayer meeting at 7 p.m. As we've mentioned elsewhere, we do have a special guest, and I hope you will join us to hear from her and the work that she is doing. We'll also be back again with another morning devotional on Friday, hopefully at 7:30. With that said, thank you for joining us. Have a blessed day. Go in peace. Serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.